How many times did you clean dog poop off a toddler's shoes this week? If the answer is greater than no times, and you took detailed notes about the worst slash funniest parts of those times, you are very likely in the right place listening to Take Note. This is our podcast in which we chronicle the daily ins and outs of our lives through the filters of our pocket notebooks. I am Ted. I'm here with Adam. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing very well, Ted, and I'm speaking slowly for no discernible reason. That's just how the words came out of my mouth.
When one is taking note, one should speak slowly and articulate each word.
I am meditating on every word I speak.
It's the only way we would have it. What do you got this week, Adam? And by what do you got, I mean, what are those special moments that you pulled out your notebook and captured them for all eternity?
Well,
to read back to me in a very slow, deliberate, meditative voice on our podcast.
Well, Ted, I'm going to amp up my energy just one amp. That doesn't work. And, okay, I'm bringing out, I got my yellow corn notebook here. I've noticed throughout the week, I have the traditional vertical crease, the crease going vertically down the center, but I also have a somewhat unexplained horizontal crease, which does not always happen for me.
Is this a thing? A crease? What do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, I keep them in my pocket, and so they get a little, They get a little folded, a little benty, and there's a vertical crease in it. But there's also kind of, I could fold it in half hamburger style or hot dog style.
I'm gonna say all the horseback riding you've done this week is your equestrian turn has led to a new crease in your notebook. Is that accurate?
Yes, Ted, I have many passions.
I knew it.
So opening my notebook here, I wrote this down last night. In a somewhat inappropriate location to be pulling out pen and paper. I wrote superpower, finding the worst guy at the rock show before he has played his full hand. We saw Courtney Barnett in a beautiful small venue where they rarely hold concerts. And there was a guy who first caught my eye with his Newbery Comics t-shirt. Newbery Comics is a Boston record store. I wonder what they sell now. Not records anymore. I'm in Chicago, so it's unusual to see that shirt. He caught my attention that way. And then he and his lady friend were dancing very excitedly, and you know, they were goofy and they were a little old for it. And you know, I did pass judgment very quickly, and I have that moment where I think, am I being the worst person? Am I judging someone for just having a good time? Am I doing what I would hate for someone to do to me? And no, this guy was horrible, and so was his lady friend. They were doing a lot of dry humping for comic effect at a Courtney Barnett show.
That's almost Shakira levels of eroticism coming from Courtney Barnett, right?
right. Yes. And especially her new album, which is filled with songs about how you deal with trolls on the internet. I don't know if it's filled with songs, but that seems to be kind of, it's a great record. I like it a lot. Anyways, the dry humping was really the least of the problems. I didn't like the man. He was like volumizing her hair. He had his hand in her hair so much, but it wasn't like a nice. He was volumizing it. It was really something. And so I was delighted when he lived up to my low expectations of him. And then he went. You know, he and his lady friend went further into. Towards the front of the crowd, and at one point during one of the hit songs, I saw him like raise his hand, and he was like bouncing his hand to the music, and he was the only person doing anything like that. And I was like, look, there's still in the distance, I can see the guy who I've determined to be the worst guy at the rock show. What do you got, Ted?
Well, it's not my what do you got, but it brings up a sensitive tale in our in the history of our friendship, which is of course the Tom Petty amphitheater concert.
Yes,
the abbreviated version is We found ourselves camped out next to, we hadn't learned yet to call them bros, but they were the broiest shirtless drunken bros at the Tom Petty concert. And well, needless to say, Adam decided that was the time to really take a stand. And no, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. He took a stand against the bros, and the bros didn't like it.
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was. It was a Father's Day gift for my stepdad. Of course, Ted, you always came along on whatever Father's Day gift I gave
yes.
my stepdad. No, you yes. were. You were spending a few days in Chicago on your way back from China, and so yeah. you came to this Tom Petty concert with us, and the bros were just very bro-y in my stepdad's face, and just the really, truly the gentlest asking for them to stop turned into some weird aggressive thing, and you're just like, why are you drunk? Why aren't you high at the Tom Petty concert?
Tom Petty of all places.
Right.
Yeah, no. They definitely, that guy definitely slapped a beer out of your hand. Or no, did you slap it out of
his hand? No, I didn't slap a beer out of anybody's hand.
I think he slapped it out of your hand, man.
Yes.
That was really, no, but you were the hero. You stood up for it, and I mean, you stared down the sweaty Brodom. Tom Petty would have been proud of you.
Well, you know what I say. I won't back down.
There you go. That's pretty good. Tom Petty soundtrack is pretty solid if you're having a heroic moment.
Absolutely. Yep.
So anyway, that does tie in nicely with the find the worst people at the concert theme.
It's my superpower.
we were sitting at the dinner table at home with the kids and my dad chit-chatting. And my dad was explaining he was explaining what it's like to be colorblind to my daughter, almost 6 year old daughter. So just, you know, talking which colors and, you know, hard to tell between this and that, et cetera, et cetera. And she got pretty amped up with this new analytical, you know, thing to break down. And she pointed at a purple napkin and a blue napkin and said something like, you know, which one is blue and which one is purple? And my dad said, well, you know, I don't know. And she looked at him and said, I wish I could see inside your brain. And man, my dad got a kick out of that. That was like, you could not have said anything to my dad that was more appealing than I wish I could see inside your brain. Because I think that's how he feels about most life interactions is just the desire to occupy other brains. What else you got?
Well, again, I will derail. This will not be my official what do you got, but I am very excited to learn or to learn again that your dad is colorblind because I'm colorblind. And I am blue-purple colorblind, and this blue-purple colorblind will be dealt with in our last segment on the show today. My what do you got?
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
I know. This is.
Well, I'll briefly conclude by saying that my dad, his colorblindness was a source of discomfort as a child, emotional discomfort, and later in life he has embraced it as a cause to share it openly, to discuss it, and tell people about it and teach the kids about it and destigmatize it. So I'm proud of him in that regard, and I think May has embraced it well. And I look forward to your own tale of colorblindness yet to come.
I was a little stigmatized by it as a child too. In fact, probably when I was May's age, the girls in my kindergarten, first grade class just loved to like quiz me on, what color is this? And I would like try as hard as I could, and I would say blue, and they would say, no, it's cerulean, and I just hated it.
Yeah, that's rough.
But I'm over that. My what do you got is
clearly rough.
One night work trip, wake up in Madison, 5 minutes before my alarm clock goes off, and I realize I did not pack pants. Why do I have this information in my head, yet it only floats to the top just as I'm supposed to be waking up?
The no pants information?
I was laying there in bed, and it just occurred to me, I never packed the pants. So if I knew I never packed the pants, why didn't I know it hours ago, before I left home?
Let's look at the bright side. You got a good night's sleep.
That's true.
And the pants issue didn't keep you up. Your brain did you a favor. It saved the no pants dilemma for later. It gave you a little time.
Yep. It's like nice Tom job, Petty brain. Said, I won't wear pants. What do you got?
All right, this is my last what do you got, but at the top of the page of my craft edition ruled field notes with my custom homemade Kong Skull Island sticker Mod Podge to the cover, the header just says Chuck E. Cheese. That's right, folks. It was my first children's birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese.
How'd that go
A couple of standout moments. The first was camping out in front of the animatronic band, which has pretty much been the same animatronic band since I was probably 8 years old. And the back of the head of the pizza pie making Italian animatronic drummer proceeded to, as I was looking at it, fly off. The back half of its skull, exposing a terrifying metal superstructure of wires and dangling whatever and you know, skull, basically. And I just thought, this is glorious. This is wonderful. I can't believe I actually get to see this. And the things, you know, its head's waggling back and forth, so the skull, scalped part of it is just swinging really creepily back and forth as he sings his song. It was great. And then later, as we were doing, like, my daughter sat near the stage, so I was going to help her, and I was happened to walk past the staff that were tasked with fixing this nightmare vision. And I was walking by, I just was kind of staring at him, and they were giving it their best shot, but at one point, one of the staff members turned to me and went, "The Velcro's just really old. It just doesn't." And I just gave him a knowing nod. That was pretty great.
Sounds like you saw that drummer's last dance with Mary Jane. Am I right?
Oh my god! I'm so sorry that I introduced the potential for a Tom Petty themed segments into the. I apologize.
Keep talking so I can think of another Tom Petty song.
The next one was I was okay, so the parents, they were kind of, you know, coordinating this thing. You're in a Chuck E. Cheese, the kids are going crazy. And then they all sit down and the parents said, "Hey, if any of the parents want to get a drink, just ask us for a cup and we'll give you a cup and you can go fill it up." And so, you know, I gave it a few minutes, but I kind of, I looked around for some fresh cups. There were no cups. So I made my way up to the dad and I said, "Hey, are there,
sorry,
you got any cups, cups going on here?" He was holding a child. I didn't exercise, but they told us to ask for cups.
I understand. Didn't they want the children to ask for cups?
No, the children, they were all set. This was like, "Hey, grown-ups, if you have a piece of pizza, if you want a cup, get a cup." This was kind of the afterthought. And I was bored, and I needed some caffeinated beverage to occupy my time. And
I've got really good coffee at Chuck E. Cheese.
Just on the other side of the salad bar, that's where you'll find the coffee. No joke, man. Full salad bar. So gross. But it was on the way to the fountain soda. So I asked him for a cup, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, a cup. Let me, okay, hold on, let me see. I gotta ask. Oh, let's see. We don't have any more. All right, I gotta ask the. I gotta ask our party planner. Oh, she. Okay, that's her up on stage. The party planner's up on stage. I'm like, oh boy, I've really gotten
reassembling the Westworld scene up there.
And he's holding the kid, you know, the entire time, and kind of switching her from arm to arm the way that you do. But then by that point, I was like, you know what? Never mind. And he's like, no, no, we're going to, he went into like, this is now your mission has become my mission. And so he's like flagging down his wife and waiting for the staff member who's doing like the dance with the kids and the mascots and the animatronics and
your
all this stuff.
Your fate is tied to that 17-year-old.
Exactly. You know, she had like the headset in her ear. And then the dad starts saying like, and I said, I'll go flag down someone else and get a cup. And he was like, no, no, no. If you do that, they're going to charge you. They'll charge you $2. You're going to wait and you're going to get this soda that we paid for. And I'm like, all right. I gave you the chance to back out of this deal, but you've doubled down. And he was like, he's like, yeah, I'm talking to people. I see her radioing back to the people. I see people with radios, staff members, people with shirts on radioing. Who's answering the radio? Was bring us up. He was gonna figure out. He was gonna get to the bottom of it.
In that moment, anyway, did you really not feel like an adult?
Man, you know, it's like you can stand around awkwardly at a kid's birthday party when you don't know the fellow parents super well.
Yep.
And then you can stand around awkwardly after you've asked a dad holding a small child to get you a Dwinky Dwink. It's a new level of awkward standing around at a
yeah.
birthday party.
Your spirits must really have been free falling.
Son of a bitch. How dare you?
Sorry.
How dare you? You got anything else? You got another what do you got? Or
I do have a what do you got. I got one more what do you got. Right. I wrote here, children were just given a mini timeout for running and screaming after a warning. I piped in, you will listen to this Grateful Dead song and appreciate it.
Tom Sharpling really elucidated the Grateful Dead for me in a way that nobody before that had. And this was actually shortly after I watched the pretty engaging documentary on Netflix about the Grateful Dead. He said something like, and I probably won't do it justice, but that when you see the cover of a Grateful Dead album with the skulls and the roses and everything, you think it's going to be the best thing you ever heard. And then you listen to it and you realize that the cover of that album should be like an old tractor in the middle of a field. It's like overgrown with brush. I was like, that's it, man. He nailed it. The way that only Tom Sharpling can. So they appreciated it after you said that, right?
Well, that was their instruction. I just like to introduce confusion into the parenting, which is, which is why my children are lunatics.
Like a kind of a guerrilla warfare kind of thing. Like you hide and yell non sequiturs from your hiding place so they don't know where it's coming from.
I find that if I inject nonsense into the situation, then later they will feed me nonsense, which can be put into my notebook, and which I use for the greeting cards, the greeting card company that I run. And yeah, yep.
Brilliant. Should we move on to our summer beverage series?
Yes, Ted. Let's see what you've got.
This is the second go-round of our summer beverage series. Your summer beverage recommendation, of course, was Topo Chico.
Yep.
My summer beverage recommendation is a beer from a Houston brewery, which, you know, take it or leave it, the brewery itself, because maybe it's not available where our listeners reside, but it is a category, and this is a lemon and ginger rattler beer, which my local purveyor is called Carbach Brewing. But the rattler, I did a little bit of research. It came from Germany in earlier this century, 20s and 30s, But cycling was very big in Germany at the time. And some enterprising barkeep, I think, was running low on beer, but it was the middle of this cycling race. So instead of closing up shop, he decided to cut his beer with like lemonade, basically, or lemon seltzer, or kind of just turn it into some sort of delicious, beery Arnold Palmer kind of a vibe, where he mixed light beer with lemon juice or lemonade. So this Radler that the Carbach makes is lemon, but also ginger, which adds this really nice kind of spicy, refreshing component to it. But you crack into one of these beers, and it's like just citrusy refreshment, even more so than, kind of a Hefeweizen with a lemon squeeze. It's like deep down, kind of sweet, kind of refreshing, and delicious. I think in other parts of the country it's called maybe a shandy, or and I think like Leinenkugel makes one. There's all kinds. They're all.
They've got a summer shandy. I've heard Radler, and I'm having the strongest memory in the last year or so was the first time I heard Radler, and someone with an accent just kept going, Radler. And I went, what is it? Radler. What? Radler. It took me a long time to understand what they were saying, and I can't remember who this was or if it was a dream, but do you think, I know that I won't be able to get a Carbach here, I don't think that I will, but do you think that a lemon ginger Radler or a lemon ginger shandy, ooh, a shandy, do you think I'll be able to find a lemon ginger Radler here? Or is that a Carbach? Maybe not an invention, but.
I think you will definitely be able to find something with lemon. The ginger, in my 7 minutes of research, I didn't see another ginger version, which I must say I think that's what distinguishes it is the ginger. You'll definitely be able to find some variation. I think a lot of breweries are doing kind of creative takes on it. I've known about this one for about I think since last summer, and it was a bit of a revelation. Now I will say this, as I in about minute six of the research, I discovered, or I had a minor revelation. I thought, okay, wait, this is basically like lemonade mixed with beer. I should probably check the nutritional contents of this thing. Just jam-packed with sugar.
All
It's
right.
basically like fruit juice.
I like this sugar water.
That son of a bee. That's why I like this so much. Oh. So it comes with a caveat, though, with those of us who like to pay attention to this sort of thing and then completely ignore it. It's important that you're aware of what you're ignoring, I would
This is
say.
something that this you can this will keep you up at night if you'd like. The fact that you
It'll
enjoyed this
when I
drink and
when I wake up in the morning and the 5 minutes before my alarm,
Right.
I might give it a hint of a thought. But I mean that kind of information is actually I was pretty disappointed because it just. It meant that I had to go through a thought process that was slightly different than the thought process of just drinking a normal beer.
Right.
I was like, okay, I have to decide I want lemonade in addition to deciding I want beer, which I like pretty actively avoid drinks with just straight up sugar. So there's a caveat to it, but before you know that, really good drink.
Ted, we cooked up this summer beverage segment series something, without really connecting the dots between this and the notebook. And I think by the time the series is over, we will have figured out some way to connect those dots. But I guess maybe I'll ask you, has there been an occasion where you've been drinking your Radler with your notebook, and did they pair well together?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I mean, if I was going to tie it together, I would say that, 7 minutes of internet research, there's not much better a place to capture the results of that research than your pocket notebook. It takes up a nice, handy 3/4 of a page. I scribbled lots of sugar! ! And I mean that brings it to life a little bit more than your average, whatever Google Doc or something. And you know, to be honest, I am a somewhat forgetful person. So something, a note like that, can do a lot of work for me to take me back to the mindset of, you know, it's that mindset of realizing, oh, there's a lot of sugar in this thing. So lots of sugar. It really, you know, it ties it all together. So I think
yeah, there really absolutely. Is. We're sort of taking note of these beverages all summer long.
Exactly. Yeah. We should work that concept of taking note of things into the title of our podcast. I feel like that's got some legs.
Nope. Kong Skull Podcast it is.
Okay, that concludes our episode 2 of our summer beverage series.
Our hit summer beverage series.
Our award-winning runaway hit summer beverage series.
Yes.
In which I'm pretty sure we name a beverage and then proceed to kick the legs out from under that beverage. After we bring it up. 2 for 2.
All right, Ted.
Our summer beverage hit piece segment. Where we assassinate the most refreshing beverages on the market today.
This week we'll be talking about the beverage that at first we liked and then we decided we didn't like because we don't like anything.
All right, Adam, you're going to dig into some pencils.
Yeah, Ted. So I posted on our blog a couple months ago maybe that I wanted to become a blue pencil guy. And I, on the blog post, I talked about one of the challenges with being a blue pencil guy is that I am colorblind, and I'm not always sure if these pencils are blue or purple, and I need reassurance. My anniversary came up. I celebrated my anniversary, and my wife got me a pencil cup and just a plethora of blue pencils from nice. CW Pencil Enterprises.
Nice.
I had a feeling. I'd kind of figured out what it was because somehow the wrong address was entered into the CW Pencils, order form. And I had to help Jennifer track down the package, which was delivered to a transgender shop that we did not know existed in our town. People were very nice, and Jennifer picked it up there, and we discovered that there was a store that catered to people who were transitioning, and they held on to the pencils for a day.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've got in front of me here a Stettler Mars Ergo Soft, a Musgrave pencil tot. The tot is a very thick pencil. You need a special pencil sharpener for that. A Unipalette, a Mono. The one that I think I like the most is, this is also a jumbo size pencil. It is a Hester and Cook Quality Majestic number 2.
Nice.
I've thrown in a few of my remaining Blackwing 73s, which mm-hmm. I think has got to be the favorite of all these colors. A lot of people giving that one love lately. And
it's I think that's become a widely regarded favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. The grip on it is fantastic. There's quite a few more there, too. I've spent a lot of the day today sharpening these pencils in preparation for this segment where all I'm doing is naming the types of pencils.
So these are, just to clarify, these are, they're blue painted pencils. Are any of them blue lead?
I'm glad you asked that. I also received a box of Vicaro Violetta pencils, and as the title suggests, these are purple pencils. My lovely wife made the colorblind man's mistake that I had anticipated making myself.
She's trolling you, maybe.
Perhaps. she knew they were called Violetta, but she thought in the picture on the website that they looked blue. She did miss. We discovered today that it describes them as purple copywriting pencils, so they actually write in purple. But the best thing about being a colorblind blue pencil guy is that I don't really care that much. I'll be a blue and purple pencil guy. What the hell I care? Yep, no skin in the game. That's right.
Very nice. Well, there are so many names in that list that I've never heard of that I'm satisfied that you've dug deep and you've gone deep down into the well of specialty, bizarre, interesting pencils, which is a great thing about pencils because it costs you a dollar a piece to do that or whatever it is.
Cost me nothing. Anniversary gift. It was great. I also learned today, I think this is, my first pencil cup in a long time, and I wondered, what the hell do I do? Do I put them lead up, or sharp end end up, or eraser down, or some of them don't have erasers? And so I did a little internet research, and I found a pencils.com article about what to do, and they recommend putting a few pieces of styrofoam foam. I think they use special environmental friendly styrofoam foam. I can't speak today. And then they recommend those, and you put those at the bottom, and then you put them sharpened and down, and your pencils stay sharp.
That's the kind of internet wisdom I never would have thought of, actually putting something soft in the bottom.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Pencils up just seems like a nightmare waiting to happen.
Yep, that's how I've got them right now. Danger zone.
So let
me ask
you.
Old Tom Petty song, I'm on the highway to the danger zone.
So as a colorblind person, what is it about blue pencils that appeals to you? Or can you see the blue?
I can see the blue. I have trouble with color differentiation. I don't know if your pops is in the same situation, but I have a very hard time seeing the difference between blue and purple. There are other colors that mix me up quite a bit too, but none as consistently as blue and purple. So, there's people that are red-green colorblind. I'm not red-green colorblind, but then when I can't see a red or I can't see a green, when I screw up those colors, it especially stings.
Huh.
Yeah, but blues and purples have always been the bane of my existence. Sometimes
but there's no,
grays and
there's
pinks.
There's no lack of enjoyment of those colors. It's just the distinguishment of them.
Well, this is when you get into the philosophical question that I'm sure your dad has puzzled himself with. All the colorblind people have. I feel like I can see these colors, and maybe not all the colorblind people. I don't want to speak for all colorblind people because maybe some people have it quite a bit worse than me. I feel like I can see these colors. I just can't differentiate between the two of them. But what if what I'm seeing, and in my mind is color, is basically like black and white to you? Who knows?
But if that was the case, you wouldn't enjoy them, right?
I don't know. You don't enjoy a black and white photo?
Oh, man. I don't think I know anymore. I think it's all just the term colorblind is probably a misnomer because it implies somehow that you are not privy to the world of color, which is not really true. So I think it doesn't really matter what you see as long as you derive some pleasure from it. And if you like, you obviously like blue pencils, so there's something about the blueness, whether I see the same blue as you, it's irrelevant.
Absolutely. There really is something, though, and I wonder if you did this to your dad. There's something when your kid, the first time you say the wrong color in front of your kid, and like a four-year-old, and the four-year-old looks at you like you're the biggest dummy in the world.
I don't remember that moment. I do. Well, mostly what I remember is that my dad is utterly incapable of matching a tie with any other component of his wardrobe. That was pretty much how it played out. In our household.
I feel like even if I wasn't colorblind, I would still be making bad tie wardrobe choices.
All right, Adam, let's do this again next week. What do you say?
Great talking to you, Ted.
Just want to quickly say hello, Eliza. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed your podcast episode, and I look forward to more.
What? Bye.